Blog Talk Radio.
I wonder why you keep me waiting.
Tonight and tomorrow with some Irish music. This is Celtic Heritage Millennium. How you doing? We're going to open up with a song of betrayal. Many Irish tunes have to do with betrayal, pretty much like what's going to happen to us here with the communist takeover. I have a question for you, old listener. If the communists manage to require all guns be surrendered by the 300,000 citizens of the United States, and you never had a gun, or you did and you turned yours in, and you know your neighbor's not turning his in, would you turn him in? Will you turn him in? How are you going to handle that? Not going to get involved? Or are you going to get involved? What are you going to do? You going to love thy neighbor? Or are you going to surrender to Mao, Che, and Joseph Stalin, and the Party of Death, the former Democrat Party, now the Communist Party? Yeah. Oh, that's a bad handle to live with, huh? We only have one card in our hand. And that's the communist card. You have all those other cards: homophobe, racist, anti-Semite. We don't have any of those cards. All we have is the one card: communist. Here's Bold Robert Emmett, the hero of Ireland.
The struggle's over. The boys were defeated. Old Ireland surrounded with sadness and gloom. We were defeated and shamefully treated. And I, Robert Emmet, awaiting my doom. Hung, drawn and quartered, sure was my sentence, but soon I will show them no coward of mine. My crime was a love of the land I was born in. For a hero I've lived, and a hero I'll die. Bold Robert Emmet, the darling of Erin. Take me over the billows to a land of the free, but I must see my sweetheart, for I know she'll cheer me, and with her I will sail far over the sea. But
That's a song about an Irish rebel from 1798, when Catholics and Protestants, all Irish, rose up against the English crown. And so you can go from 1798 forward and just count the number of years it took for them to get a shot at freedom, which probably happened around 1918. There was a corporal in Iraq who was captured by Al-Qaeda, and his body was fished out of the Tigris or Euphrates River, I forget which one. And, of course, he just became one of the 4,700 casualties of the war that gave up their lives. And his name was Corporal Anzac, A-N-Z-A-C-K. So I paid a tribute to him one night on his show, because he suffered the same fate as Bold Robert Emmett. And I did that music, I took that music and changed the words so that it was all American. And I donated, I created a tribute to Bold Corporal Anzac. When they fished his body out of the Tigris River, he had been whipped. So he had been tortured. And the next time some communist that tells you that we're cruel people and we've committed a lot of atrocities, ask that communist what he has done to serve and protect the United States. Odds are he'll tell you he demonstrated in the streets of New York. Yeah. And he wears pajamas. Okay. So bold Corporal Anzac. And he did die a hero. And he died alone. And there was no one there to cheer him on. He was in the enemy camp when he died. So having said that, now we have a tune. You ever see Hollywood, how they make fun of priests and nuns? Well, this is a tune dedicated to a priest, and his name is Father Michael Murphy, and he led his people to rise up against the British. Basically, the story goes that when the British came to his parish, he told his parishioners to give up their arms and cooperate with the crown. And his parishioners followed his instructions, and they gave up their arms, and the British slaughtered them. So Father Murphy, a survivor of the slaughter, rose up and promised a vengeance for Ireland, and he led the uprising. And a couple of battles he beat the British, but in the end, the British caught up with him. And in the tune, you'll hear the singer say, and they burned his body upon the rack. No, they didn't burn his body upon the rack. And they put him in a barrel, and they covered his head with tar, and they set fire to it. Yes. And if you want to know something about the British, we're very lucky that we threw them out of here. And now they're all coming back because they've ruined their own country. Every time you turn on the TV, there's another British accent. Yeah, they ruined their country, and now they've come to finish off ours, which is also in a state of ruination. Yeah, ruination, that'll be us, man. R-U-I-N, space, nation. So the name of this tune is Bull of Vogue, and that's a place in Ireland where Father Murphy gave his life for his country.
At Bull of Vogue, as the sun was setting, or the bright May meadows of Shelmaine, a rebel hand set the heather blazing and brought the neighbors from far. Father Murphy of old Kilcornock put up the rock with a warning cry. Arm, arm, he cried, for I've come to lead you
cowardly old men, we put to flight. Was that the Harrow? The boys of Whitford showed Bookie's regiment how men could fight. Look out for hirelings, search every kingdom where breeze is laid for Father Murphy of County Wexford, sweeps o'er the land like a mighty wave. We took Camolin and Enniscorthy and Wexford, storming drove out his foe. 'Twas Ashley Wiltshire, our pikes were reeking with the crimson stream of beaten at Tavernearing and Ballyellis, full many a session lay in his gold. Our Father Murphy had aid come over, the green flag floated from shore to shore. Vinegar Hill or the Pleasant Lady, our heroes vainly stood back to back, and the yeos at Turlough took Father Murphy and burned his body upon the rack. God grant you glory, brave Father Murphy, and open heaven to all your men. For the cause that call you may call tomorrow in another fight. For God
King George of England, that's the same one that we fought. Isn't that something? And the guy that hung all these Irish rebels was a Lord Cornwallis, the same guy we threw out of Yorktown with the help of the French. Merci beaucoup, mon ami. Yes, so when we make fun of the French, remember, if it wasn't for them, we would not be free today. The sad part about the French Revolution is they killed all the wrong people. Okay, I'm looking at 70 avowed socialists in the U.S. Congress. Now, what does avowed mean? They're dedicated? In October 2009, the Democratic Socialists of America released in its newsletter a list of 70 members of the U.S. Congress who are members of the Socialist Party of America, the Communist Party. Okay? Now, I know you're shocked. You can't believe it. You're stunned. And somebody in your family is yelling, McCarthyism. Yeah. Poor Joe McCarthy. All he wanted to do was get rid of the Communists, but the Communists got rid of him. Yeah. And they created a buzzword, McCarthyism. So if you say, you know what, I don't think it's right that the Communists are burning the flag. McCarthyism, I don't think it's right that we kill 4,700 American babies a day. McCarthyism. Yeah. I don't think it's right that Obama promised Russia that they could get all of their slaves back. McCarthyism. So here is a list of 70. Now, my question is, if the Communist Party can put up the names of 70 congressmen who were not ashamed to be a communist, how many more are there that are ashamed to be a communist? Is there another 70? Do we really have 140, 70 seen and 70 unseen? You know what they say, if you see one rat, there's a million. Co-chairs of the Socialist Party of America, Raul, they call them honorable, but I'm not calling any of them honorable. They're dishonorable. Raul Grivalia, he's from Arizona, poor Arizona, bleeding Arizona, man. You're talking about bleeding Kansas in the Civil War, bleeding Arizona. There's more drugs coming into that state than in any other state until they start, until the pot boom kicks in Colorado. And then the cocaine salesmen move from Mexico to be closer to the customers. Yeah, man, we're in trouble. The Honorable Lynn Woosley, yes, from California. Vice chairs, those are co-chairs of the Communist Party. These are vice chairs of the Communist Party. Honorable Diane Watson, California. The Honorable Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas. Texas, what are you doing? The Honorable Mazie Hirono from Hawaii. Hawaii is very red. Jimmy from Brooklyn says that the longshoremen in Hawaii were infiltrated a long time ago by the communists, the union. The Honorable Dennis Kucinich, I always called him Kami Kucinich, he's from Ohio. If you go to my website, which is a very short one, it's called www.mediacrapmatters.us. At the bottom, you will see three demo-communists, and they're all sitting with Bashar al-Assad selling out the USA. And of the three that are there are Dennis Kami Kucinich, Bill Bayonet the Babies Nelson from Florida, and Uday Pelosi, who never forgave George Bush for killing her two sons. Nancy Pelosi never forgave Bush for killing her two sons, Uday and Kusei. Yeah. And then we have Senate members, the Honorable Bernie Sanders from the communist state of Vermont. Even the maple syrup turned red up there. And now they're sending in fifth columnist to occupy in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is to Vermont what the Crimea is to Vladimir Putin. Yeah. House members, you know, it's really sickening. Freedom began in Massachusetts, and now all they send is rats. Freedom began in Connecticut. Nathan Hale was from Connecticut, and now look what they send. Look at the crap they send. A lying imposter as attorney general told the people of Connecticut that he was a warrior fighting in Vietnam, and it turned out to be a lie. So what did they do? Did they string him up and did they tar and feather him? No. They made him a senator. You don't think you're losing your country? You have no idea. You have no idea what chain gang you're going to be working on in about 5 years. Yeah, unbelievable. So here are the members. Neil Abercrombie from Hawaii, Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, Xavier Becerra from California, Madeline Bordalo from Guam, even Guam, Robert Brady from Pennsylvania, Corrine Brown from Florida, Michael Capuano from Massachusetts, Andre Carson from Indiana, Donna Christensen from looks like Virginia-Alabama, could be Virgin Islands-Alabama. Yvette Clark from New York, and New York has some terrible representation. And now they elected this mayor, and the first thing he did was he screwed the people that voted for him. So let me take a break. We'll do a tune, and this one is going to be, let me see what I got here. If You're Irish, Come Into the Parlor, and We'll Empty Your Pockets in 10 minutes. Come on, guys. Here we go.
The hearts, the ballygers for miles round Katy Town. And when they hear that I'm a wah, they'll raise a hullabaloo. When they hear about that handsome lad, they call a Donahue. Or I'm the boy to please her, and I'm the boy to please her. I'm the boy to please her, and I'll tell you what I'll do. At court her like an airy slammer, the brogue and blarney too. You can with her rollick and hollick and swollick and mollick and bow the Donahue. A red, red rose upon your garden wall, and BTP a dewdrop and upon her brow I'd fall. Perhaps she might think it me as a rather heavy dew. No more she'd love that handsome lad they call a Donahue. For I'm the boy to please her, and I'm the boy to please her. I'm the boy to please her, and I'll tell you what I'll do. A court her like an Irish man with a brogue and blarney too. You can with her rollick and hollick and swollick and bollick and bow the Donahue. At the door, they ring at the bell, say no, my true love, are ye well? Out she comes as white as snow, rings on her fingers, bells on her toe. Oh, Johnny Marie said she'll die if she doesn't get the fella with the roving knife. I tell me ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. Pull my hair, throw my comb, that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is a courting, 1, 2, 3, please would you tell me who is she? Single bell and bow, and to me pay attention. Don't ever fall in love, 'tis the devil's own invention. For once I fell in love with a maiden so bewitching, Miss Henrietta Bell, down in Captain Kelly's kitchen. With me sorrel-a-la, me sorrel-a-la-dee, me sorrel-a-la, and me sorrel-a-la-dee. At the age of 17, I was apprenticed to a grocer, from Stephen's Green, where Miss Bell she used to go, sir. Her manners were sublime, she set me heart a twitching, and she invited me to a hooly in the kitchen. With me sorrel-a-la, me sorrel-a-la-dee, me sorrel-a-la, me sorrel-a-la-dee.
Okay, so before the break we were reading the names of communists in the Congress. Well, they're nearly not communists. They just belong to the Socialist Party. You know who else belonged to the Socialist Party? Joseph Stalin, Leventi Beria, Che Guevara, Fidel Castro. Yes, Fidel, he did it all for his people. He led his people. He freed his people from slavery. Yes. And he's worth at least $600 million, not counting the drug money. And his people are eating still life paintings because they see fruit in the bowl. Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? And you got this arms dealer in Russia Everywhere you look in the world where there's a revolution going on, you will see nothing but AK-47s and their famous rockets. So who else is in this Communist Party, which is now the Democrat Party? I am totally convinced the Democrat, you cannot kill 4,700 kids a day and stand up and say it's a woman's right to choose. You can't. That's murder. 4,700 American kids a day are being murdered. That's a total of 1.2 million kids a year. Guess how many immigrants legally come into the United States every year? 1.2 million immigrants, and they take the Social Security numbers of those kids. Unbelievable. So who else we got here? We got Robert Brady from Pennsylvania, Corrine Brown from Florida, Michael Capuano from Massachusetts, Andre Carson from Indiana, Donna Christensen from, we said them already, Alabama, Yvette Clark from New York, William Lacey Clay from Missouri, Emmanuel Cleaver from Missouri. What's going on in Missouri? Steve Cohen from Tennessee. John Conyers from Michigan. Do you know that John Conyers wanted to impeach Dick Cheney? This is how these people operate. Now, we're talking about impeaching President Obama. You don't hear anybody saying anything, do you? Yeah. And we're talking about impeaching Eric Holder, the gunrunner that's responsible for the death of 100,000 Mexicans. Well, they only brought in 2,200 guns. Who told you 2,200? Oh, they did. Yeah, well, if they told you 2,200, what did I say about rats? You see one, there's a million. Elijah Cummings, Elijah the Prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, Cummings from Maryland. He staged a communist stunt the other day on the dais. He was all ready to destroy the inquiry put together by those who want to know. Danny Davis from Illinois, Peter DeFazio from Oregon, Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut, Donna Edwards from Maryland, Keith Ellison from Minnesota, Sam Farr from California, Chaka Fatah from Pennsylvania, Bob Filner of, oh man, look at all these names, from California, Barney Frank from Massachusetts, he's a communist, Marsha Fudge, she's from Ohio, Alan Grayson, isn't that the nut job from Florida? Huh? Unbelievable. He's a member of the Socialist Party. No wonder he's trying to bring the country down. Luis Gutierrez from Illinois. John Hall from New York. Phil Hare from Illinois. Maurice Hinchy from New York. Michael Honda from California. Jesse Jackson Jr. from Illinois and the State Pen. Yeah, he went to work for the people and he made $750,000 shopping. And you know what? He has a nice Rolex that he bought for the people, and they can look at it and see what time it is. Oh man, we're a bunch of suckers. The government has too much money. You know, it's like a kid that's buying too much candy. You got to take it. You got to cut his allowance so he can lose weight. Eddie Bernice Johnson from Texas. Hank Johnson from Georgia. Marcy Kaptur, Ohio. Carolyn Kilpatrick from Michigan. Barbara Lee from California. John Lewis from Georgia. David Lobsack from Iowa. Ben Lujan from New Mexico. And here's the one that really gets me. Carolyn Phony Maloney from New York. Carolyn Phony Maloney from New York. Ed Markey, man, this guy is really bad news. He works with the Enviro-Leninists. Jim McDermott went to Baghdad just before Bush sent in the nuclear inspection team. of 40,000 inspectors. Yeah, Jim McDermott went there with two other guys who aren't on this list because I looked for them, Bonnier and Thompson. And they went to, they said, they went to see Saddam. They said, we're for you, Saddam, and can we have some money? And Saddam wouldn't see them. But anything to take America down. Beware of anti-war people because they're really anti-win people. George Miller, Gwen Moore, and here's a real rat, a little fat rat, and Gerald Nadler. You don't let him around the schoolyards. He'll scare the kids. Eleanor Holmes Norton, John Over from Massachusetts, Ed Pastor from Arizona. Poor Arizona, man, it must bleed a lot. Donald Payne from New Jersey, Chelly Pingree from Maine, Charles Rangel. This is the hero of the people. He's the only guy that's a millionaire that gets rent-subsidized apartments, not one but four in New York. And he has a T-shirt that says, I will never do time. Yeah, and guess what? This is the Democrats' claim to a veteran hero. And Charles Rangel, they'll always say, and this is Charles Rangel, the Korean War veteran. Yeah, he served this country in Korea. This is all we have. Unless you want to count John Kerry. Okay, this is all we have. That's all the heroes. We have the war heroes. But one thing I got to tell you, you know those flag draped coffins that come home from any war? Charlie Rangel votes to burn the flag. And he voted to burn the flag. Yeah, I was looking out for my men. Sure were, Charlie. Laura Richardson from California. Lucille Roybal-Allard from California. Never trust a woman with two last names. And never trust a guy that wears brown shoes with a blue suit. Bobby Rush from Illinois, Linda Sanchez. This woman is a whack job, absolute wacky. And you all want to know how wacky she is? Not the last convention where they threw God out of the convention hall, but the convention before when she suggested that the Democrat Party have the convention at the Playboy Club in California. Isn't she up for the game? Unbelievable. And then there's Jan Schakowsky. She looks like the devil incarnate. And I'm sure she voted to burn the flag. I'm sure of it. Jose Serrano from New York. If this is the guy I'm thinking of, he controls the one borough in New York City. And he is a heavily leveraged communist, and he has good ties to Fidel Castro. Louise Slaughter, she probably voted to kill kids with a name like Slaughter. It's the only way she could go. Pete Stark from California, Bernie Thompson from Mississippi, John Tierney from Massachusetts, Nydia Velasquez from New York, Maxine Waters from California, Mel Watt from North Carolina, Henry Waxman. This guy is the archenemy of Mighty Mouse. He held hearings. He spent about $100 million, $200 million, yeah, to have hearings. You know what his hearings consisted of? He was investigating baseball, and him and his staff... Another million? Yeah, him and his staff summoned Roger Clemens to testify. And you know what Waxman did? He humiliated Roger Clemens, the hero of Major League Kids, and he charged him with stealing second base because he knows nothing about baseball. Peter Welsh from Vermont, and it looks like AL. And then the last one is Robert Wexler. He's the puts the final nail in the coffin. But like I said, these are 70 communists who came out. They came out of the hamper. Now, if there are 70 communists that are willing to put their names on communist propaganda, there's got to be another 70, maybe another 140. So who's running the country? Is it the Communist Party?
Warning, this MP3 download.
We'll pass on you, honey.
In the year of our Lord, 1806, we set sail from the cold Cape of Cork.
Of course.
We were sailing away with the cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. With an elegant craft, she was rigged for and aft, and how the trade winds drove her. She had 23 masts, and she stood several blasts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
There was Barney McGee from the banks of the Lee.
There was Hogan from County Tyrone. There was Johnny McGurk, who was gifted of work, and the chap from Westmead named Malone.
A slugger or two who was drunk as a rule, and fired in bed crazy from Dover. And young man Mick McCann from the banks of the Fan was the skipper on the Irish Rover. We had 1 million bags of the best Sligo rag. We had 2 million barrels of bone. We had 3 million bales of all nanny good tales. We had 4 million barrels of stone. We had 5 million hogs and 6 million dogs, 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million sides of our blind horses hide in the hold of the Irish Rover. We had sailed 7 years when the measles broke out, and the ship lost away in a fog.
Big fog!
And the whale of the crew was reduced down to two, 'twas myself and the captain.
McNamara, I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the march from Saul.
Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clanging, the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy, Tennessee, tutors the flute, and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Right now we are rehearsing for a very swell affair, the annual celebration, all the gentry will be there. When General Grant to Ireland came, he took me by the hand. Says he, I never saw the lights of McNamara's band.
Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clang, and the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy, Tennessee, tutors the flute, and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Oh, my
my name is Uncle Julius, and from Sweden I did come to play with McNamara's band and beat the big bass drum. And when I march along the street, the ladies think I'm grand. They shout, there's Uncle Julius playing with an Irish band. Oh, I wear a bunch of shamrocks and a uniform of green, and I'm the funniest looking Swede that you have ever seen. There are O'Briens and Ryans and Sheens and Means, they come from Ireland. But by Yemeni, I'm the only Swede in McNamara's band.
Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clanging, the horns they blaze away. McCartney pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes to play. And Hennessy, Tennessee doodles the flute, and the music is something grand.
A credit to all Ireland is McNamara's band.
Who fears to speak of 98? Who blushes at the name? When cowards mock the patriot's fate, who hangs his head for shame? He is all a knave and half a slave, who slights his country thus. But a true man, like you, man, you can fill your glass with us. We drink the memory of the brave, the faithful and the few. Some lie far off beyond the wave, some sleep in Ireland too. All are gone, but still lives on the fame of those who died. All true men, like you men, remember them with pride. Some on the shores of distant lands their weary hearts have laid, and by the strangers' heedless hands their lonely graves were made. But though their clay be far away, beyond Atlantic foam, it's true men, like you men, their spirits are still at home. The dust of some is Irish earth, among their own they rest, and the same land that gave them birth has caught them to her breast. And we will pray that from their clay full many a race may start, of true men, like you men, to act as brave a part. They rose in dark and evil days to right their native land. They kindled here a living blaze that nothing shall withstand. Alas, that might can vanquish right. They fell and passed away. But true men, like you men, are plenty here today. Then here's their memory. May it be for us a guiding light to cheer our strife for liberty and teach us to unite. Through good and ill, be Ireland still, though sad is theirs your fate. And true men, like you men, like those of 98.
Prowling and all would scare them, my banks are slain. On with O'Donnell men, fight the old fight again. Sons of Tyrconnell are valiant and true. Make the proud Saxon feel, errands of vengeance steal. Right, fire, country, O'Donnell the bold.
All you young rebels, and list while I sing. For the love of one's country is a terrible thing. It banishes fear with the speed of a flame, and it makes us all part patriot game. My name is O'Hanlon, and I'm just gone 16. My home is in Monaghan, where I was weaned. I've learned all my life cruel England to blame, and so I'm a part of the patriot game. It's barely 2 years since I wandered away with a local battalion of the bold IRA. I'd read of our heroes, and I wanted the same, to play up my part in the patriot game. This island of ours has for long been half free. 6 counties are under John Bull's tyranny. So I gave up my boyhood to drill and to train, to play my own part in the patriot game. I lie here, my body all holds. I think of those traitors who bargained and sold. I wish that my rifle had given the same to those quislings who sold patriot game.
One of the things that I'm coming to realize is that we are closer to nuclear war today than ever before. You look around the world and you see all of the revolts that are taking place and guerrilla activity that's taking place. All of those factions are supplied by the communists. Everywhere you look is an AK-47, no matter where. And the biggest weapons distributor is the Russians and the Chinese. The Chinese are getting very active in Africa. They have positioned themselves in many governments. And one day we're all going to wake up to a changed world that we didn't know was taking place. Iran doesn't have to wait until it has a nuke. It could borrow 10 from Pakistan tomorrow. Saudi Arabia, seeing the Iranian nuclear threat, is now looking to be looking for a nuke deterrent, which is more nukes. The Japanese are building 2,000 nukes due to the threat from China. And the Japanese are the masters of the first strike. They are not going to let anybody take them out of the picture if they can help it. And they are ferocious. They sunk the entire Russian fleet at Port Arthur. They are good seamen. And when you start to see Japanese aircraft carriers again, you'll know. And also, aircraft carriers may be obsolete. This may be an all-out nuclear war. And whoever shoots the first one, you know there's got to be one coming back. I don't think President Obama could stand up and tell the citizens of the United States, well, they took out all of New York. New York is gone, but we're going to negotiate. I don't think it's going to work. And what was that? Oh, that's another nuke? Oh, okay, well, we'll have to negotiate. That's not going to happen, man. So we're not ready. We're not ready. The communists are calling for the withdrawal of American troops all over the world because we don't need to be anywhere but back home. And you know what? We're not prepared for the next war. George Washington said, in times of peace, prepare for war. We're not preparing. You see what he's doing to the military. He's doing what Stalin did to his military. Stalin killed 40,000 officers. He's already fired, how many, 300? He's just getting started. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And the next war will be nuclear. So let's take a look at the candidates in the field today for president. We got nobody. Neither party has anybody. We've got regulation rules. We've got guys who know how to look good on TV. We can't afford any more dynasties. We can't afford any more Hollywood stars. We can't afford pretty boys. What America is going to need shortly, it may be right after Obama gets out of office, or it may be before he gets out, the next president has to be military. The next president has to be a warrior. The next president has to be someone who can move quickly and respond quickly. The next president has to be one that everybody else has to catch up to, because that's how fast he's moving ahead. And my candidate for that is General Stanley McChrystal. We need Stanley. And Stanley has battlefield experience. And he was a four-star general. And we don't do bad with generals in office. We do bad with community organizers. What's he going to organize when there's no cities left? What's he going to build, blocks? Next war is going to be fast and furious. George Patton said, twice in my lifetime we've come from behind after being hit. He goes, I doubt if we can do it a third time. Not the way they're... of atomic bombs and missiles. So, and you know, the American philosophy is we have to take the first hit because we've got to look like the good guys. The Japanese aren't talking like that. Well, you know what? That's bad news. There's only one thing worse on St. Paddy's Day that could be worse news than that, and that's a pub with no beer.
It's a long summer while by the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear, than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Now the public is anxious for the quota to come. There's a faraway look on the face of the bum. The maid's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Well, a terrible place is a pub with no beer. The stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar, pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly touched him a sneer when the barman says sadly, the pub's got no beer. There's a dog on the veranda for his master he waits, but the boss is inside drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover and he cringes in fear. There's no place for a dog round a pub with no beer. The first time in his life has gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, you're ready, me dear. Then he breaks down and he tells her that the pub's got no beer. Oh, it's lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear, as to stand in the bar of a pub in